Item 24, from the Milwaukee County Comptroller, submitting an informational report regarding the five-year fiscal forecast for Milwaukee County. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Ms. Paul, you have a presentation for us?
That's fine.
You have a presentation for us?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. State statute requires that the Comptroller's Office provide you with an annual five-year forecast. And the results of our forecast are summarized on the first slide. So next year, we are projecting that our expenditures will exceed our revenues by $31.9 million.
Is your microphone on? So you can lower the mic.
It's on. Yeah.
If you lower it.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Thank you.
I'll try and speak louder. The structural deficit for 15, 16, and 17 has worsened slightly from last year's forecast. For example, last year's forecast projected that the 2015 gap would be $25.8 million. We are now anticipating that gap to be about $31.9 million. Our structural deficit continues to be driven by the same two components as in the past. The first is personnel, which is reasonable given that personnel costs make up about 40% of our entire budget. The second is our lack of revenue growth. Based on our estimates, revenue growth won't exceed 1.5% during the five-year period. And we also have identified a few other issues that should be monitored as they could have an adverse impact on county finances in the future. This next graph shows you the projected difference between expenditures and revenues. For 2015, expenditures are projected to be $1.28 billion, and revenues are projected to be $1.25 billion. So the result is the $31.9 million problem. So what makes up the gap? BHD and Sheriff account for about $13 million in additional tax levy next year. For BHD specifically, expenditures were projected based on the same growth rate we used across the county, and revenues were held basically flat. So the forecast was not changed in any way to account for the state legislation in 2015. It just so happens that the natural increases in the model resulted in a levy basically at the state cap in 2015. These are expected results given the size of these two departments, and we've seen comparable results in the past for these two departments as well. So personnel costs, or the next three bullets, will cost an additional $26.4 million next year. As you may recall, in 2009, the county settled its dispute with Mercer for $30 million. That money was deposited into the pension system and amortized over 5 years, which also reduced our payments over that 5 years. So next year, the amortization is complete and our costs will go back up. Overtime increases next year account for about one half of the wage-related increases, or about $7.2 million. This is largely due to experience in the Sheriff's Office and the HOC, and also for some housekeeping changes that we made to our projection, how we've done it in the past. Salaries also go up about $7.2 million next year, which is a result of about a 2.5% increase that we've built into our forecast. A 2.5% increase is really an estimate of what salaries would look like with a 1% COLA and about a 1.5% cost for steps. With respect to health care, the forecast assumes an annual growth rate of 7.5%, which coupled with our current budget projections results in about a $4.2 million increase. So the current budget for work comp right now is also lower than what we're experiencing, and we're expecting an increase in our property insurance deductibles next year, both of which result in about a $2.5 million increase. Our CMAQ funding, specifically for the red, blue, and green lines, has ended, so that results in a $5 million reduction in our revenue. And for purposes of our projection, we assume that all contributions from the reserve are one-time contributions. Therefore, the $12.1 million debt service reserve contribution that was made in 2014 is not included in 2015. So as we'll discuss in the next slide, it appears that the reserve has sufficient funding to make this contribution again next year if policymakers should decide to do so, which would lower the current gap that we're estimating. It's worth noting that if that were the case, this would really only prolong that $12.1 million problem into the future years. And lastly, on a positive note, offsetting all of these increases is a reduction in our debt service payment of $14.4 million. This is due to the end of the repayment of the 2003 debt refinancing. So what types of solutions are available? As we mentioned a minute ago, the county will have enough available in the reserve to make a similar $12.1 million contribution should you choose to do so. Doing so would actually bring your gap down to about $20 million. Policymakers could provide less tax levy support than the forecast projects for any department. Policymakers could repurpose some of the contingency fund dollars. There is currently $7.8 million forecasted. We do recommend maintaining at least $5 million in your contingency fund, but you still could use maybe up to $3 million if you wanted. Policymakers could also reinvest sales tax funding that's currently in the capital budget of about $9.4 million. You could reinvest that back into the operating budget. And obviously, new or additional revenues would always also help decrease your gap.
I have a question. With respect to the $5 million contingency fund, would that be unallocated?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, would you rather we wait until the presentation is over to ask questions, or can we interrupt?
Well, I'm thinking since we... She can speak, and if that's okay with you, answer questions as we go along.
It's fine. Whatever you desire.
I would prefer that.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I just want to be quick. On transit, there was a win associated by the county executive's office at the state by an increase in transportation funding for transit, not in 14, but in 15 from the state budget. Is that associated with your numbers?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
That's the new funding that was just won as a result of the lawsuit, or no?
No. State funding in the 14-15 budget. Supposedly, they increased transit funding slightly in 15. And I don't know if that's associated in the numbers.
It should be, but I would have to double-check that to make sure specifically. We did run over our revenue projections with transit to make sure they looked reasonable. So my first guess would be they are in there, but I'd have to double-check just to verify that. Because you're not talking about the additional CMAQ funding, new CMAQ funding we received.
Nope.
It's okay, I'll have to verify that. But.
Yeah, it should be direct state funding. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The chairman of the Transportation Committee would like to add something.
No, that's a very good question. Because we stated that CMAQ money was dollars that was going to come to hand. We never put that in the money from the state. So that should not, and it's probably not in there because it's not offset. That's new revenue.
I guess there's a few things, Mr. Chairman, that could have happened. I'm assuming it's in there. I know there was old CMAQ funding for the red, blue, and green lines that we're no longer getting.
Yeah,
we also knew, we've included that. We also know that there's new CMAQ funding coming with additional expenditures. That's not included in here. It would have a zero impact because its expenditures equal your revenue. Now, this additional revenue, I can only assume is in there, but like I said, I'm going to have to follow up with transit and make sure that it made it in there when we were discussing their revenue projections for 2015. this specifically, this item just specifically isn't ringing a bell in my head that I've made sure was in there, so I'd have to double check.
Once you find out, can you please do it to the screen?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
I was going to wait till the end, but you said the wage-related increase is $14.4 million, about a half is overtime, and then we heard earlier today that we had about $4 million or so from the sheriff, $2.4 million for this year so far. So about $7 million, you just are assuming a 2.5% increase?
What we do in the forecast is we have to sort of we try and make recommendations or, you know, forecasts of what we've seen. And we know steps were frozen for 1 year, so our assumption is that steps will come back next year. So we sort of unfreeze them in the model and we put them back in. We put COLAs back in as well. You know, we assume we've had COLAs in the past that they might come back. What's a reasonable amount to address for a COLA? So really what we start at, our starting point, is really looking at where is the county as a whole trending for 2014 as far as salaries go. So we're at $200 million. Okay, we'll take that number, and on top of that number, then we figure out what percentage a COLA would cost and a step increase would cost, and then we get to a number that we need, that is the number we need. And so sometimes, based on where those things are, you know, the percentages don't match up nicely, but it's more of a holistic view of where we're going.
Were you able to put in your forecast the results of the JEQ, which I know in today's meeting we have about $250,000 worth of salary increases that are proposed by the administration. Is that part of this, or will that be in addition to that?
Specifically, no, it's not part of it, but I could say that overall it tends to fall within the broader budget for salaries. We have a $200 million budget for salary, so a lot of the fluctuations you see in and out don't have huge impacts. I don't know what the bottom line impact would be to that, so it isn't necessarily included. You know, we see a lot of those changes happening year over year, and those sort of get accounted for in our natural progression when we say, well, we think we'll use a 3% increase next year because some, you know, salaries have gone up a little bit, they're going to be a little bit higher. So you kind of have to look at a variety of factors to get to a number where you're going to be. Whether or not, you know, we can't go down, I think, to the specifics for positions. If we knew of a $250,000 impact next year, I probably would have included that just to have it included within here. We did include the salary reductions for the board coming on in the future year, so we were able to bring that in there because we knew about that in time. But with respect to the whole JEQ process, it's not really reflected in here any more than the regular JEQ process that we've gone through for the past several years and how that impacts our salaries over time.
So you said we have about $200 million in salaries?
Yes.
So that number could be tightened up then, is what you're saying. Earlier today we had these abolished creates where, you know, we're abolishing positions that are vacant. I mean, I didn't bother to ask how long the position had been vacant. But if we had maybe tighter management of that, that could reduce some of the structural deficit instead of a department coming in and saying, well, I've got this open position, let's just create this new position. We could just abolish it and not create a new one, correct?
Correct.
And someone could go through the budget with a fine-tooth comb and find some of those. And probably reduce our deficit some. Would you say that's true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
You ready for the next slide?
Okay. This next slide is a chart that shows you the 5-year projected structural deficit. The column labeled gap shows you the cumulative gap. Or in other words, this column assumes that the gap in the prior year was only solved through one-time fixes, and it reappears in each subsequent year. The next column over, the adjusted gap column, is actually a simplistic view of the gap, assuming that the prior year's gap was solved with long-term sustainable solutions. So just to give you an example, if the $31.9 million gap in 2015 is solved through sustainable solutions, maybe workforce reductions, reducing service levels, or actions that would decrease costs in future years, our gap in 2016 would only be $15.7 million versus the $47.7 million. So I know sometimes you've seen in the past that gap number grows really big, but that's really a cumulative number, assuming that everything's only solved one time only. So that adjusted gap number really shows you more as you make real sustainable changes what you should be looking at in the future years. The next slide is another graphical presentation of the five-year projected deficit. Really, it's just showing the gap between expenditures and revenues over the five-year period. The next chart shows you the change in the structural deficit over the past couple of five-year forecasts. There are really two main points to take away from this slide. The first is that the structural deficit has actually gotten better since our projection in 2012. You can see that the green line is much lower than the blue line, and you can see that in the numbers in 2015, we've had a reduction in our gap from 53.3 to 31.9 million in 2015. Going out to 2019, you can see that that gap lessens from 140.7 to 93.8 million. So we've made significant strides in addressing some of our structural issues around the county. The second issue, or second point, is that we haven't actually improved from last year and have actually gotten slightly worse. You can see this. If you look in the numbers in 2015, the 2013 gap number was estimated at 25.8. Our 2013 number is now suggesting a number closer to 31.9 million. So we've gone up a little bit. What does this mean? Basically, the projected expenditures dropped between last year's forecast and this year's forecast, which is a good thing, but revenues also dropped by $56 million, or about $6 million more than our expenditures, which is not good, because that's basically creating a net effect of a negative $6 million change in our gap. So really, that's where that comes from. One of the drivers of the structural deficit is and always will be personnel costs. It will be because, as I mentioned earlier, personnel costs make up almost 40% of the entire budget. What's important on this slide is the green line. It is showing that even though personnel costs are growing over time, as a percentage of the total budget, they're actually starting to decline, which basically means that we've made significant strides in managing these costs over the last several years. With respect to salaries, wages will grow about 11.5% over the five-year period, and health and pension will grow at about 21.8% over the five-year period. And this is actually far less than the 2012 projection of 36%. The other major driver is the lack of revenue growth. We are projecting very limited growth in our current revenues and have no new anticipated revenue. So what this chart shows you here is that absent family care and airport revenue, the county's revenue growth is less than 1.5% in all 5 years, and it's actually negative next year. This is mainly driven by a low tax levy growth rate of 0.7%, which is net new construction, flat state and federal revenues, and discretionary revenues that are mainly growing at CPI over the next 5 years. So to give you an idea of what tax levy requirements will look like for some of your larger tax levy funded service areas, this chart shows you what you can expect over the next 5 years. So public safety will grow about $26 million. Health and Human Services will grow about $14 million. And on the next slide, transit will grow about $11 million. So based on a request we had from a supervisor, we also looked at what the tax levy would look like if it had kept pace with inflation since 2010. We also did a comparison to the WE Energy rate hikes as well. You can see that from 2010 to 2013, we weren't totally keeping pace with inflation or with WE rate hikes, but we weren't super far off. Where the results really start to vary are in 2014, when we held levy flat, and in the out years when we are limited to net new construction only. So basically, if we were able to keep pace with inflation since 2010, we would have had about $33 million more in revenue in 2019 than we are currently projecting.
Is this what I had asked you for?
Yeah.
Just for a little information.
Go ahead.
I had asked, I had actually gone through this budget overview with Mr. Fudge. Mm-hmm. And I know this is from the comptroller. This is not Mr. Fudge's report. But it just struck me that if we took the same increases that the Public Service Commission had given We Energies, and then looked at how our budget would look, that is the that's the green line on here.
Yes.
And it really speaks, it speaks volumes. It's amazing how We Energies can consistently go to the Public Service Commission and argue, you know, inflationary increases, employment increases, and get those increases. And yet government is expected to operate year after year after year with flat revenues. Mm-hmm. And this chart, to me, really speaks volumes. But for the fact that we are not able to even talk about increasing revenues, so since we're so controlled by the state on that,
yes,
we are providing less government services. And I think we need to make that point to the public. Why is it that a privately operated monopoly automatically gets those increases from the Public Service Commission, but all the other government services has to look at these deficits? I think we need to make that argument a lot more than we have, because that's what's going on here, really. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to make that point. I do want to thank Ms. Paul for including this graph for us, because it just speaks volumes to me.
Thank you, Supervisor, and it's very, very instructive for us to see that, because your point is well taken, and that point will be repeated.
That's an unelected board, I might add, the Public Service Commission.
Public Service Commission, yes.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Proceed, Ms. Paul.
Well, what would that have meant for the gap, though, had we been able to keep pace with CPI? In the early years, you see not too much. There isn't too much of a spread in 2015. And really, the main reason is for that is that any tax levy increases you would have had in the past would have been offset with higher expenditure increases in the past as well. So basically, you wouldn't have had to reduce expenditures as much over the course of those couple of years. Now, in the out years is where it really makes a difference, because the compounding of a higher tax base at a higher rate provides much more revenue to you than the compounding of a lower tax levy base at a much lower rate, which is where we're at. So basically, you know, we would have had about $33 million more in the out years, but don't have that option. And then just another one quick comparison. This shows you that the blue line is the property tax, that net new construction of what we're anticipating over the next 5 years, or 0.7%. The red line shows you what it would look like if we kept pace with CPI. Well, CPI would grow annually about 1.8%, growing to 2.3% in the later years. Basically, had you been able to keep pace with inflation, you would have been provided with an additional $3 to $4 million annually to help offset each gap in that year. So lastly, some other issues to monitor. Obviously, the county has some outstanding litigation, some of which could have significant impacts, financial impacts, such as the pension multiplier and Medicare Part B case. The state will begin its biennial budget process early next year, and it's difficult for us to predict what impact that will have on county finances going forward. The county's infrastructure needs continue to play a role in operating and capital costs. A recent public policy forum report cited $246 million in projected capital needs for arts, cultural, and parks facilities alone. So even though our debt service is dropping, it is unlikely that these savings could be reinvested into general operating at this time until our infrastructure needs are addressed. And lastly, the sheriff is projecting a deficit right now. this forecast resolves a majority of that in part, but if additional resources were added, another 100, you know, sheriffs were given to them, or any sort of changes like that, the funding for those resources would need to be addressed in our forecast. So that ends our presentation. Are there additional questions?
Any other questions by committee members? Supervisor Mayo?
First, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to receive the second one. Thank you for the presentation. But you didn't give us no opportunity to say, hey, we think you should be looking at this revenue, like one of dedicated funds for transit, like one of there is another way that people are looking at now that NMC said, I want you to start using user fees for people outside of Milwaukee County. You got to look at different resources and think out of the box. And I'm just controlling the office. She should give the board some suggestions that we should look at doing the budget process. Because we got a structure, we got to be proactive with it, reacting and I'm glad you raised the flag up.
Thank you, Supervisor. Ms. Paul, I should ask Ms. Jensen. Ms. Jensen, is this new PowerPoint in legislature?
I did ask CJ to provide me with it, and it will be attached.
And you will?
Yes.
Attach it for us for next week's board meeting.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. We have a motion to receive and place on file. Are there any other questions? Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So looking at the projected gap of 31.9, what is the consistent surplus that we end up with every year? I know last year we were in the 20-plus million, correct?
Yes.
So when we're projecting what the deficit might be, that doesn't take into account surpluses that we might have that year or previous years.
It doesn't take that into account in the 31.9. One of the things that we said is that where most of the surplus went was into the debt service reserve. So, and we indicated that in the 2014 budget, $12 million was put into that budget coming out of the debt service reserve. And we said one of the things that's creating the gap is the fact that we removed that dollar amount, you know, from there, which means your gap gets created by the fact of you had a one-time item which came from the debt service reserve of $12.1 million. One of the solutions that's available to you is to take money out of the debt service reserve and to put it in there in order to cover your gap for the year. The problem that occurs, though, is the fact that it's a one-time solution. And it's not there if it's not there continuously, at some point in time, you're going to have to address that issue. That is a possible solution to take care of the hole that's there, the $31.9 million. But if you don't maintain the surpluses that are there, then it's only there for just that one time.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, to add to that, I think we do take into account some of the surpluses that we have going in prior years. Just for an example, we knew we had a surplus, ending in 2013 of $4 million in health care. That was taken into account into our forecast. So we know those costs. When we know those types of things, when we know we've had a huge surplus in a certain area, we'll look at those and we'll definitely incorporate most of those. You know, is it down to the nitty-gritty? No, not necessarily, but the bigger items are definitely incorporated, so taking into account those things.
Gotcha. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Julie, any other comments, questions?
Mr. Chair? Yes. I just want to thank C.J. Paul for working on this document and putting the effort. This is the first year that the Comptroller's Office has done the five-year forecast, and we have an outside group that helps us by taking a look at our assumptions. If we're responsible for the report and putting the numbers together within there, but I appreciate them taking a look at, you know, what we're doing in our assumptions. And one of the things that we've done in doing this five-year forecast is we've tried to tighten it up a little bit. And by tightening it up, we're looking at some of our recent history of what we've seen, especially regarding like health care increases, where we've seen some savings in recent years and some of the decreases we've seen in health care expenditures and those. So we've tried to tighten it up to be a better report for you, so that it provides a better projection, a closer to what we believe the items that are there, and closer to the issues that you see. Because some of the issues that she was talking about, mentioning of what's creating that deficit, I think you all recognize what some of those issues were. So you're familiar with those already, but seeing it all come together in one number. So I truly appreciate the work that she put into this.
Thank you, and we do too. There's we have the PowerPoint that has a lot of this information incorporated in the original report, but nevertheless, the narrative in the original report goes along with the PowerPoint. So thank you very much for that. We have a motion to receive and place on file. Again, any other comments or questions before we vote? Seeing no indication.
Just one additional comment. I don't know how many of you took the opportunity to talk with DAS and the budget office. They did prepare an analysis as well, which was the county budget overview document, and they actually had given some appointments, I think, to Mr. Mansky's office and our research staff and so on. And I guess I would just ask Mr. Mansky how the two reports compare with each other. I mean, I didn't get yours in time to even, you know, try to compare them. So do you want to make any comments on that?
We haven't seen his report.
Oh, really?
Wasn't that from,
that's interesting.
Wasn't that from a previous cycle, Mr. Masterson?
Chairman, supervisors, I'd have to check with Mr. Fudge on that, whether or not that was.
Well, I've seen it before.
No,
is there a date on that?
Let's open the shades, okay? Let's see.
Last cycle, previous cycle? I've seen it before, actually.
Right, it's a 2014 budget fax. But there are built-in assumptions going towards our next budget cycle, I believe. It's interesting that the Comptroller's Office didn't also review this. I mean, I find it interesting.
I believe you've seen that. You just made that name. Yeah. For this action. Okay, we have a motion to receive and place on file. Any other further comments on this particular item? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
8-9-0-0. The motion to recommend that item number 24 be received and placed on file prevails.
Thank you. Item 25, please.